Children ages 4 to 2nd grade are invited to go to the back with Mrs. Warren for an age-appropriate Bible lesson. I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. There are Bibles that are out on the seats. Turn there if you have a Bible. It's also printed for you in the bulletin. But we're continuing our sermon series in the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 3, and basically we've said Philippians 3, 1 through 11 is connected, and we're talking about the sufficiency of Christ. And so we started that last week with 1 through 3, and then this week we're going to talk about 3 through 8, and then next week we're going to talk about 7 through 11. And so we're not going to pick up everything that's here in these passages this week. Some of this we're going to pick up next week. But this is just an incredible 11 verses that get to, in essence, the heart of the Christian faith. And so we're wanting to pause here. And today, there's a lot of things we could have talked about. I'm going to focus on this thought of resume. So what's your resume? And what's your resume before God? So you intrigued to hear about that? Let's pray, and then we'll read together. God, thanks so much for the work that you're doing in hearts and lives. And Father, we pray for everybody who's here right now. We pray that you would open our ears, that we could hear from you, that we'd open our hearts, that we could love you, and that you'd open our hands, that we could serve you. And so, Father, we ask for those things today. Would you do that work by your Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 3, 3 through 8. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Praise be to God.
So we're going to look at this passage through three different points today and then have some concluding thoughts. The points are the reason for resume building. We'll do that first, then the cost of resume building, and last, the end of resume building. So the reason for resume building, the cost of resume building, and the end of resume building. So we'll start with the reason. And here I just want to say, think about what is a resume. So if you don't know, a resume is something that you write down. It's basically a one piece of paper that summarizes who you are to somebody who potentially doesn't know you, and you're telling them why they should give you something or let you in. Oftentimes it's a job. Why you can do that job and why they should choose you to do that job rather than all the other resumes that they're looking at. And so, in essence, they're people whose profession is help. They're resume writers. They help you figure out how to best present yourself on one piece of paper so that you stand out, and that ultimately, what happens? You get something, right? You get in. When you're submitting a resume, you're saying, "I'm not in. I'm not in that job," or, you know, we can broaden it, talk about, you know, resume like in your college or something like that. You're applying to get in somewhere, and you're hoping that what's written down about you in one piece of paper is going to help them say, this person belongs in. We should let that person in. Their resume tells us they belong. Now, you know, and Tim Keller has talked about this a lot. He says this. He says, a resume is what we use to determine whether we let someone in or out. So the express goal of a resume is to be accepted, to get you in the position you want with all the benefits that you want. So, you know, will the school let you in? Will this group of, even you think about it, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more broadly now. So if you understand what it is for a job, for a school, I'm going to talk about that we actually use resumes. We don't write them down a lot, but we use them to decide who's in and out, maybe in our friendships. You know, does this person meet enough of the criteria to be one of our friends? Should we let them in or let them out? And in all sorts of other ways, we think about these resumes. What are the things that are most valuable to you? That's part of what a resume presses on. You know, you're writing down something about yourself in one page. But the reality is that we all have our own checklist. We all have the things that we're wanting to say about ourselves and the things that we're wanting to judge ourselves by and judge others by. And so my first question this afternoon is, do you know what your checklist is? You know, do you know what it is that you're judging yourself by and judging others by? You know, if you have a group of friends, what are the things that you would say, hey, somebody could get into our friend group based on doing these things? Or we would definitely not let them in if they were doing these things. What are those things for you? What are the things that really matter to you? And just to help you brainstorm for a second, what is it? What's your checklist? What are the things that you're judging yourself and others by? I wrote down a few. See if you find yourself in any of these. Is it being beautiful? What are the things that really matter to you? Is it being wealthy? Is it having it all together? Is it being right? Is it being interesting? Is it being a certain nationality? Is it being brilliant and being esteemed as such? Is it always being on the cutting edge of fashion? Is it being in the inner circle? Is it being somebody's best friend? Is it being the best at your job? Is it climbing up the ladder the quickest? Is it being a good athlete? Is it having an impact on the world? Is it being respected by others? So what is it that you value? What is it that you look at the world and you say, this is the checklist that I use to judge myself and others? We all have a standard. We all have a list of things that we think really matter. And if you want to figure out what those things are for you, just a great place is to figure out what is it, to look at your friendships and go, what is it about that person that I liked that I thought we want to be friends? And there's probably a connection there that they were hitting something on your checklist that said, hey, this is important and we connect here and we're going to be excited to be together. Or what are some of the reasons that you would not be friends with somebody? That'll help you figure out what your checklist is as well. What are the, do they like this? Do they live for this? Do they do this as well or better than I do? Do they share my passion for this? And this could be anything. So we're all resume building because we all have something we want to gain entrance into. We don't all write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to a potential boss, but we have a list of things that we think matter and that we judge ourselves and others by them. Does that make sense? To start out with the definition of resume is going to a boss, and I'm trying to broaden it out and say resume is something that we would hold out to others about things that we think matter and by which we would judge ourselves and judge others. Now, second point, the cost of resume building. What's the cost of living your life in that way? Now, resume building is something we all do. Some of us just are more obvious about it than others. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're able to think about what's important to you, the question is, how good are you at those things? How well are you doing at the things that you value? If you value being rich, how's it going? You know, if you're judging people and others, you know, by how important they are, how important are you? You know, I mean, just stop and pause and go, how are you doing in the things that you deem to be important? My goal in asking that, in some sense, would be that some of you would be feeling really good about yourself right now. You go, well, I think this is important and I'm doing really well in it. The reality is that most of us are in the room and going, well, I think this is really important and I'm not doing all that well in it. So a few in the room probably feeling pretty good, most of us not feeling so great about ourselves, thinking through what's important to us and how we're really doing in it. Now, Paul is talking to a group of people who are being told that they need to focus on doing good works to obtain God's favor. And so the thing that was important to this group of people were God's favor. That's what they were after. And they're being told that they have to do good works. They have to obey the Jewish customs to obtain God's favor. And so to be in with God, the Philippians are being told they need to follow the Jewish customs. They're being told they have to have one foot on Jesus and one foot on their good works. Now, living a lifestyle of works-based resume building is incredibly costly. And either you will constantly feel like a failure, like some of us in the room do right now, thinking about what's important to us and how we're failing in it, or in those rare moments where you're doing well, you'll get so prideful, you know, and there'll be this sense of, man, I'm doing well. I think this matters, and I'm doing well in it. And what ends up, you become arrogant and judgmental. And so either way, it's incredibly costly to live in a way that you're resume building. And so for the Philippians, what Paul is telling them is that focusing on your work for God is like getting on a treadmill that you can never get off. If you're focused on performing in some way, it's like getting on a treadmill that you could never get off. You think about it. Because if you have to do it to feel good about yourself, then you can never not do it. Because what happens when you quit? You know, it's over, right? You're not feeling good about yourself anymore. And so if you're just constantly building your resume, then it never stops. You might get the next job or accomplish the next moral achievement, but if your worth and value is wrapped up in those things, if it's wrapped up in how well you're performing, how well you're building your resume, then you can never stop. There always has to be something next. And you're only one failure away from losing it, whatever it is for you. And so that's exhausting, isn't it? Anybody willing? I mean, it's just exhausting. And some of us in this room today are exhausted. We're on the treadmill. This performance treadmill of if it's going to be, it's up to me. You know, I've got to prove my worth today to my friends, to my boss, to my family, to whomever it is. I have got to, my resume has got to keep building. There's got to be something new I'm adding on the next line, something good that I'm doing for somebody today, or else who am I? And that lifestyle is incredibly costly because you can never really rest. There's always something that you have to do next. And so I just ask you the question, what is it that your resume building lifestyle is costing you? Is it time at home? Is it time with friends? Maybe time with family? Time doing other things? Your own health? You know, you've got to keep performing. You've got to keep putting something else on the resume. It's incredibly costly. Thankfully, there's a third point to the sermon. We don't end with exhaustion. The end of resume building. Paul had worked hard. And he's worked hard all of his life to morally achieve. And his resume was really, really impressive. And so I just want to read through it real quickly. Just point it out. This is Paul's resume. He's got seven things on it, picking up in verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So I just want to walk through that real quickly because that's most of what this passage is. It's Paul's explaining to the Philippians what his resume is, spiritually speaking. The things that they're being told are most valuable. He's saying, oh, if that's what's important to you, listen to my resume. Listen to what I've got on that front. So he's circumcised on the eighth day. He's a member of the covenant community. His family observes the law. There's four things that he inherited. That's the first. The second is he's an Israelite by birth. He's racially pure. None of the Philippians could have said that. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. Not only is he an Israelite, but he's of these 12 tribes. The tribe of Benjamin is the one that gave Israel its first king. It's the tribe that remained faithful when others didn't. So even in Israel, he's a part of this smaller group that you would have wanted to have been a part of. So his heritage is incredible. And he says he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's an Aramaic speaker, a son of Hebrew parents. And he says educated by Gamaliel, one of the premier rabbis of the time. So there's four things that Paul is saying about his heritage. He's saying, oh yeah, if you think that's what's important, I got it all. The resume doesn't get better than what I've got in terms of heritage. And then he adds three things to that. Not only did he have a good heritage, but look what he did with what he had. He says, I became a Pharisee. And so he obeyed the law rigorously. And he speaks to his zeal. He describes himself as passionate. He says, you want to know how passionate I was? I persecuted the church. I didn't just believe it a little bit. I believed it enough. I was so involved, I was persecuting these Christians. And then he says that the third thing there is that he says he's obedient to the law. Not perfect, but obedient. No externalist mistakes based on the law of men. And so that's Paul's resume. And that might not sound impressive to you, but in the first century, when folks are saying, hey, it's important not just that you believe in Jesus, but that you obey all the Jewish customs, that was like, that was as good as it got. You know, that's like saying, oh, you want to play basketball? Well, I'm Michael Jordan. You know, it's like, you want to be a quarterback? I'm Joe Montana. You know, it's like, that's what you value? Oh, I'm the best of the best at what that is. Now, what does he do with that? He's got that good of a resume. What does he do with it? Verse 7, listen to this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. So what's Paul do with his resume? He's the Michael Jordan of basketball, and people value basketball. He takes his resume and he balls it up, and he throws it in the trash. He says, you guys think that's important? He said, that's not what's important. He balls it up and he throws it in the trash. Everything you guys, Philippians, that you're being told you need to do, everything you need to aspire to be, it's trash. I'm better than you'll ever be at those things, and I don't value it. And so for Paul, this is an either or. Either we put confidence in our flesh or we put confidence in what Jesus did in the flesh. That's part of what this passage is getting at. It's an either or. Paul's saying it's not about what I did. It's not about my background. It's not about what I did. I put trust not in my, no confidence in my flesh, he's saying, but in what Jesus did. And so either we stand before God on the day of judgment holding our resume up before him, or we stand up before him holding Jesus' resume up. But Paul's saying we can't do both. It's either Jesus' resume or it's our resume. But it's not both. Paul took his resume, he balled it up, and he threw it in the trash. All of this was nothing. He says it was actually loss. And it was rubbish. And the word there in the Greek really means excrement. I mean, it's It's excrement. That's what he's saying. He's saying it wasn't just okay. It was like, man, it got me a good start, and then God sort of put me over the edge. He says, all of this stuff that I've been spending my whole life doing and working on, it's in the trash. It stinks. And Paul isn't repudiating his heritage here. He's just saying, in regards to salvation, if you're looking at your works, if you're trusting that your resume is going to be good enough to get you into heaven, you're trusting in the wrong thing. If you're trusting in your own works, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Now, there's great news this afternoon, and the news is this, is that no matter who you are and where you come from and what your background is, be it Jewish or Gentile or whatever it is, that you don't have to trust in the wrong thing. And that's part of Paul's message. He's not saying, hey, I'm doomed because I grew up this way in my heritage. He's just saying, hey, that wasn't good enough. Yeah, I did better than other people, but it wasn't good enough. And so We have to have a perfect resume to be in with God, to be approved, to be blessed. And rescue doesn't come because God relaxes his standards and looks at our resumes and go, you know what, that's pretty good. You tried pretty hard. You actually do better than a lot of other people you're in. No, rescue comes because God comes himself. And he said, you guys were never going to do it right, but I'm going to send my son and he's going to live the perfect life. And he's going to die the death that you deserve to die. And at the end of it all, he is going to take on your sin. And he's going to pay the penalty for that at the cross. And that ultimately what's going to be available to you by repentance and faith is that you will have the ability to stand before God not based on your own works, but based on Jesus' works. Not based on your resume, not holding it up to God saying, hey, look, I did better than other people. Let me in, God. But saying, look, God, I didn't do better. But I've repented, I believed, and look at what Jesus did. He's done it all. The penalty for my sin's been paid by him. It's an either or. So you know who has the hardest time balling up their resume and throwing it in the trash, considering it worthless? Think about that. Who's got the hardest time balling up their resume, throwing the trash? People who have really good resumes, right? You know, like, if you don't have a good resume, then, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, let's all throw them in the trash. That's good with me. But if you've done a lot of work, if you feel good about your resume, then balling it up and throwing it in the trash feels ridiculous. It feels offensive, right? It feels like, man, I've been working hard at this for a long time. Look at all of my accomplishments. And I think that's what I long to land today for some of us. And for the ones who have the good resume, is to say, it's not good enough. And as hard as it is to ball it up and throw it in the trash, what Paul is telling us today is that's where salvation begins. That's where redemption begins. It begins by letting go of your good works, by letting go of the things that you're holding on to, thinking, I really have done a good job. And it starts by throwing that in the trash and saying, God, I wasn't good enough, and I need Jesus. So in regards to salvation, it's not Christ's work and our work. It's either Christ's work or our work. And we have the choice. Which resume do you want to stand on? Now, will trusting Christ result in good works? The answer is yes, no doubt. But those resulting good deeds don't gain a Christian anything they didn't already have in Jesus. And so what you have when you come to faith in Christ, Paul says, is of surpassing worth. He's using treasure language. This whole passage is not about loss, is it? When you read this thing, you don't think, oh, poor Paul, he had to throw his resume in the trash. You read it and you go, this guy is stoked. He believes that what he has is so much greater than what he gave away. That what he has in knowing Jesus, that what he talks about in verse 8 is saying, I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's of surpassing worth. He's now my king, my Lord. We're in relationship. I have his resume. I stand before God, not based on my works, but on his works. Because of that, I'm accepted. And so it's, you don't feel, he doesn't make you to feel sorry for him about throwing his resume in the trash. He's saying, hey, this is what's open and available to everybody, and it's of surpassing worth and value. And so the reality is that we begin by throwing our resume in the trash, but it's throwing it in the trash so that we can run to a relationship with Jesus. And when you've come to faith in Christ, Paul's saying it's of surpassing worth. He isn't focused on the loss of his resume. He's consumed with the joy of being in a relationship with Jesus. Now, just a few thoughts as we close. Just a few points of practical application for us. The first is this, that this church isn't a spiritual fitness center. Let me explain what I mean by that. I like to go to the Y. What they have today, I talked with a woman today, and what they do when you show up at the Y is somebody will ask you, hey, what are your personal fitness goals? And you'll get to sit down and you'll say, hey, I'd like to lose this much weight. I'd like to be able to bench this much. I'd like to come 3 days a week. I'd like to get in better shape. Like, whatever it is, you write it down and then they say, okay, how can we help you achieve your personal fitness goals? And then there's somebody there who potentially help you do that. They're people whose job it is to help you do that. And I'm thankful for those folks. I'm thankful for the why. I need that sort of help at points. But it's helpful to understand that the church is not like that. You don't walk in here and the leadership of the church goes, hey, what are your personal spiritual goals? And let us help you. Okay, you want to get better at prayer? Let's figure out how to help you get better at prayer. You want to make sure you have a quiet time 7 days a week? Let's make sure we can help you do that. You want to make sure that you fast once a week? All right, let me see if I can help you. I'll give you some accountability. I'll give you some tips. I want you to read this article. I want you to do this. What's wrong with that? The focus is walking and saying, you're saying, hey, help me do my stuff better. The focus is on your work. And what we're saying is that that's not how the church operates. That's ultimately not how you grow. You don't walk in and say, hey, help me get better. You might walk in saying that, but what we're going to say is, okay, we want that. We want to help you get better, but here's how it's going to happen. Not by focusing on your work and how you get better, but focusing on Jesus' work and what he's done. And as we dwell there, as we focus there, as we run to that, and as we learn about that together, as we repeat that over and over and over again to ourselves and to each other, guess what happens? I mean, in some sense, we get better. We grow, right? But it's not by focusing on, man, how do I do better today? How do I build up my spiritual resume? How do I make sure I'm checking off all the right boxes? But it begins by saying, let's look at what God's done. That's what we hope to do week by week in this service and in our Northside groups. So at the center of the church, our focus is not on you building your resume to be able to show to God, but on us showing off Christ's resume. The emphasis doesn't begin with your work, but with Christ's work. And over time, we want your heart to be melted by the work of Christ on your behalf and for you to be able to say that he is of surpassing value to you. So it's not just a spiritual help center. Second, recognize the pull in all of us to trust in our works when we're doing well. Just recognize it. Just own it about ourselves. When I'm doing well, I want to trust in my own good works. And it's like, man, Jesus' work is great, but man, look at what I'm doing. You know, I've kicked this sin, or I'm doing this in the community, or I'm doing well in whatever way it is. It becomes front and center of my mind when I'm doing well. Can you own that about yourself? And third, let's recognize the pull in all of us to trust in our works when we're not doing well. Recognize the pull in all of us to trust in our works when we're not doing well. And sometimes this happens to me when I'm caught in guilt and shame, and I'm just in the middle of just being caught in my sin. And what I can do is I can try and quickly get out of it and think back to a time when I wasn't struggling with this. I look back, oh man, yeah, it's not great right now, but I've conquered this before. And rather than running to Jesus, I begin to think about how I've conquered in the past. Or I do this, I begin to imagine what it'll feel like in a week when I haven't done it in a week. You know, when I've had a good week. And it's like, man, I'm a knuckle down. And man, imagine what it'll feel like a week from now when I'm not struggling with this anymore. And when I'm in the midst of the place where I need to just be confessing and repenting and going to Jesus, I'm trying to think about my good works, either the past or the future, to make myself feel better. Can any of you guys join me in that? You do that too? Lastly, in response to this passage, I'll just put it bluntly, lose the swag. Lose the swagger. Just drop it. Your resume's in the trash. There's really not much to walk around with your chest held back. It's not the right posture of a Christian to walk around and say, hey, I've got it all together. Why don't you guys be more like me? The way to walk around as a Christian is to say, man, my resume's in the trash. Jesus did it all. He, by repentance and faith, he's called me into his community, and I'm made in God's image, and so there's dignity and there's value in who I am. I'm not to be treated poorly, but I'm also no better than you are. I'm no better than anybody else. And I'm able to walk around in my community, in my family, in my friendships, not with a chip on my shoulder, And not in the sense that I'm better than anybody else, but with a humility that's proper for somebody who knows that their best works belong in the trash. Do you believe that about yourself? That your best works belong in the trash? And if so, it'll affect the way you walk, the way you live, the way you speak to other people, the way you act in the world. There's only one perfect resume, friends, and it's not ours. It belongs to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're prideful people who are so prone to focus on our works. We want to get better. We want to do better. And so often it's not because we want to honor and glorify you. It's because we want to feel better about ourselves. And so, Father, would you be gracious? Would you be merciful to us in this room? God, I know some of us are, we need to hear this. We all need to hear it over and over again. But God, I pray that there might be, even this afternoon, folks who are thinking about what it would mean to give up their own resume and what it would mean to embrace Christ's resume on their behalf. Father, I pray for repentance and faith to happen there. And God, I pray for those who have already trusted you, like Jen said, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, however long it was, that there would also be repentance and faith that takes place in this room for all of us, that we would repent of seeking to trust in our good works, and that we would be looking to you and recognizing that you are of surpassing worth. So, Father, we pray that our hearts would be melted and that you would receive the glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a moment, prepare our hearts now for the Lord's Supper.